Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on KVOI. It is a Friday, January the 4th, 2013. Hope you're having a great day. Looking forward to a good weekend for those going back to work on Wednesday. It probably today feels like Wednesday, but it is a shortened week and we've got a weekend, thank goodness. I am Bill Buckmaster. Thanks for choosing our program. We are live Monday through Friday at noon on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We're live streaming the show on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. We post the program every day after the program to buckmastershow.com, tucsoncitizen.com, and tucsonsentinel.com also have our show posted. Our Friday Focus interview today is with Republican Steve Kozacek, Tucson City Councilman, representing Ward 6, joining me in studio to question the councilman, Mark B. Evans, like B as in boy. He's administrator of TucsonCitizen.com, a community of bloggers, a website owned by the Gannett Corporation. Sarah Garrett Gasson is with me as well, editorial writer for the Arizona Daily Star. If you have a question or comment for the councilman, he would be delighted to hear from you. Our Buckmaster Show live line is 790-2040. The Friday Focus interview on the Buckmaster Show presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. Splendido is a true continuing care retirement community for adults 55 and better. You can find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Sarah, good to see you.
Good to see you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Did you have a nice week so far?
I did. Good holiday. For the first time ever, I took the week between Christmas and New Year's off, and it was kind of amazing.
Very cool. And Mark, you're doing well, getting over a little illness. You were laid up over really the whole holiday.
Yeah, I'm doing better after about 10 days of coughing up several lungs.
Oh, my goodness. Steve Kozacek, how are you today?
What an uplifting intro to this.
I hope you're feeling better.
Yeah, well, only 341 shopping days left till Christmas, so don't let it sneak up on you.
Steve, thank you for being with us. You are hosting a couple of high-profile events early next week to mark the two-year anniversary of the Tucson shooting tragedy. Monday night at 7, you are hosting a bipartisan town hall, which, by the way, it's an event that this radio station, KVOI, is supporting. That will be at the Loft Cinema on Speedway. Then Tuesday, it's the gun buyback event at 9 a.m. at TPD's Midtown Substation, 1100 South Alvernon. Steve, your critics contend that the buyback is a publicity stunt that will not impact criminal activity. What do you say to them?
Well, it is not intended to impact criminal activity. These guys just need to pay attention to the conversation, quite honestly. Voluntary firearm buybacks have been conducted in Baltimore, Chicago, Lansing, Camden, the Bay Area. Van Nuys did one a couple of weeks ago. The intent of this is very simply, and all the critics pay attention right now, for people who have a firearm in their home, who are uncomfortable having it, for whatever reason, to voluntarily have an option to turn it in to TPD for proper disposal. Al Capone is not going to show up and announce that he just robbed a bank and here's the gun I used. I'm really tired of people marginalizing themselves in the conversation by mischaracterizing what this is about. We have, by way of example, some widow's husband died 4 years ago. There's been a gun sitting in her bedside stand for 4 years. She has never been comfortable, is not properly trained in its use, doesn't want to go through the training, wants to get it out of her home. That's one example. You've got a single mom who's got a teenage kid who's acting out. She wants to have an option to get the thing out of the house. We did have a guy walk in to the ward office a few days ago and said that his brother committed suicide with a firearm that's now impounded. He'd like to get it out of impoundment, get it through this buyback to get it into TPD's hands for disposal so that he can bring closure to that whole incident in his life. This is the kind of thing that we're talking about. It is a voluntary program. No one's going to show up at anyone's door with jack boots on and try and confiscate weapons. It is something that people can participate in if they would like to. It has been very successful in other cities, and that is the sum total of the idea. The mischaracterization is really over the top, and quite honestly, all three, I'm really tired of it. And it is, if you don't want to participate in it, stay away.
Here's Sarah Garrett Gassett, now, Steve.
And Steve, I just want to say that the example you brought up of a widow, you know, whose husband passed away, that happened in my family. My mother-in-law didn't want the gun in the home, so the only thing we could think of was to take it to the police station. This was back in Ohio. So I want to thank you for doing this. I think it's a positive step for the community. And like you said, if you don't want to do it, don't do it. It's not, I don't understand. And we wrote about this in the
You guys wrote an excellent editorial. And I forwarded that up to Safeway, the people whose gift cards I'm buying. And they were very appreciative of what you guys wrote.
Well, we're happy to support organizations and people that are doing good things for the community. So I just wanted to ask, is this something that you thought was going to be the lightning rod it kind of turned out to be? Or
No, I am absolutely naively surprised that a group that purports to support gun safety and making sure that people who are properly trained and comfortable with firearms would be the one who has been at the forefront of criticizing it. And I'm talking about the NRA and the Gun Owners of America. I actually reached out to them before I raised a penny for this and said, would you guys like to fund this thing? I thought, you know, we're all about gun safety. You, the NRA, wants people to be comfortable handling firearms. And if you've got somebody, the example that you and I just shared, who doesn't want to have one and isn't comfortable having one, then this is an absolutely easy option for them to get rid of it. And instead of embracing the idea, they're talking about suing the pants off the city. They're talking about, you know, you can't dispose or melt down a weapon. We're going to sue you. If we can't get you through court, then we'll go change the legislation. I'm saying, get serious, guys. This should be no threat. It is no threat to the Second Amendment. It is not even contemplated. A voluntary surrender of a firearm is in no way contemplated in the legislation that they cite, and the whole discussion just degenerates into the consideration of a weapon as and disposing of a weapon as the desecration of some sort of a holy icon. And I'm really naively surprised that it's generated that kind of a reaction. Now we're getting some people who are saying, "Well, we're going to show up and we're going to outbid people." You know, if we see a cool gun in line to get turned in, instead of a $50 gift card, we'll offer them $100 for it. You know, I mean, I guess that's the free market at its best, right? So, it is my sense that the people who are reacting in that manner to this are simply marginalizing themselves from a serious conversation in this community that this community has needed to have for a couple of years. And back in 2011, when that shooting took place, we really came together as a community, and we've been through three election cycles, and I think that we've kind of fallen away from that sense of bondedness that we had for a while, and this may give this community an opportunity to come together and regather the steam that we had in terms of how do we work together for the greater good of this community. There's a memorial committee that has several people who are talking about how do we memorialize January 8th? Is it, do we build something? Do we set aside some open space? What's the wording? That group, C.J. Carmijan, is actually the guy that he and I began speaking about this, and we looked at what other cities had done. That group is supportive of this thing, too. So I think the serious people in this city are getting it, and the others, just stay home.
Steve Kasachek is with us, Tucson City Councilman. Before we go to Mark Evans, Robert took some time off from work to call you a councilman, and it is off our topic currently, but he'd like to ask a question about the modern streetcar. Go ahead,
okay.
Robert.
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity. Look, here's the thing, Steve. I don't understand how we got into it in the first place because, you know, the operating costs were going to be large. I mean, I wish we had looked the gift horse in the mouth in terms of the federal grant and skipped it unless we knew for sure it was going to be profitable, because I think it's going to be a sinkhole. It isn't there a way to just cut our losses and get out of it? And then the other thing, very quickly, I've always resented that the Occupy Tucson folks, most of them never paid a dime in fines, and yet they were breaking the law and when I get a ticket, I have to pay it, you know.
Okay.
And I don't understand why I get stuck, and the council gave them such free rein to do what they wanted to do. And I'll get off and listen and thank you.
Thank you, Robert.
Dave, first of all, on the streetcar, in 2006, the voters of this community approved a $2.1 billion RTA package the streetcar was one facet of. You hear oftentimes that this is a city council project, in quotes. The city is managing the construction of it, but the voters approved it. The federal money came in to fill the funding gap. I'm concerned. I share Robert's concern about the funding of it. I don't think it's ever going to be a financial windfall. They're counting on 4,000 riders per day. Quite honestly, I was walking home from campus the day before Christmas, and the place is vacant. The dorms are empty. The place is shut down, and that's about 3 months out of the year, and that's a big. The student population is a big chunk of the ridership they're counting on. What we are trying to do right now is look at some rezoning to bring some private sector development up out of the ground along the corridor in ways that are compatible with the surrounding neighborhoods, and that is a challenge because there are some well-established historic neighborhoods that don't need six-story multi-use facilities going up on their perimeter. So it is a challenge. I do think it's going to hit our operation and maintenance. The O&M is going to hit our general fund at some point, the same way the bus system does, and it's something that we're going to have to manage. And what we own it, we own it based on what the voters said to do.
And Occupy Tucson, quickly.
Occupy Tucson, the city council did not give them a pass. That went into the court system. The city council does not tell the court system how to adjudicate. That's not our role.
All right, 12:16 on the Buckmaster Show. Mark, you have not had a chance yet to ask a question, but we do need to take a break. What's your question going to be about when we return?
What's the point of Monday's political gathering?
Okay. Hold it right there.
Okay.
Steve, we're going to take a break right here as we hear from the fine lineup of Buckmaster Show sponsors. These are people, in many cases, who have supported us since we began 2 years ago yesterday with this show, our two-year anniversary week on the Buckmaster Show.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
The Rug Gallery is celebrating its 25th anniversary jubilee celebration with a colossal tent sale, offering up to 75% off at La Encantada Shopping Center at Campbell and Skyline in Tucson. With over 2,000 hand-woven imported rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. With an international reputation, the Rug Gallery has graced the cover of Christie's magazine and is featured in many other high-end publications. Stop by and check out the Rug Gallery with Arizona's largest in-stock inventory of fine, high-quality, hand-woven, imported rugs during the colossal tent sale with up to 75% off at Tucson's La Encantada Shopping Center in the foothills of the Catalinas. Or visit the Rug Gallery online at ruggalleryaz.com/sale or call 571-RUGS.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you, completing more than 500 projects since its inception in 2006. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson and the Kolb Road extension at Tanque Verde. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
My name is Mark Layton, and I'm the IT guy over at O'Neill Printing. In order to serve my Tucson clients, I've got to be able to quickly receive files up to 10 gigs in size. That's why we made the switch to Cox Business. We used to have an internet connection that could barely handle more than 2 file uploads at a time. With Cox Business, our connection is 10 times faster, and our bill is 40% less. Now that's what I call a no-brainer.
Get to know the business side of Cox at coxbusinessaz.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's our Friday Focus interview. Today's Friday Focus newsmaker is Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasacek. And with me in studio, Sarah Garrett-Gasson, editorial writer of the Arizona Daily Star, and Mark Evans, the administrator of TucsonCitizen.com. Now, Mark, it is your turn.
So, from what I said earlier before the break, what's the point of Monday? What is it that you're hoping to accomplish?
You know, we have such limited venues in our society, in our city, we have limited access to our elected officials and limited venues in which to really engage them directly. After the election was over, in the most recent election, we have a new cast of characters at the state level, and we have some new ones at the federal level as well. And so my thought was, well, look, let me reach out to every elected official whose district has some overlap in Ward 6 of the city. That's federal, state, county, and local. And let me invite them to a forum in which the constituents, particularly of Ward 6, but this is citywide, because my contention is that there's very little that we address it on a ward level that doesn't slop over and have implications for the broader community, whether it's public safety or water or you name it. And let's let people just come in and have an exchange with us, ask us whatever questions on their mind. And I have 15, including me, 15 people who have responded, schedules permitting, that they're going to be there. I'm glad that they're done with the cliff diving they were doing in D.C. because I talked to Ron Barber's office yesterday. He's planning on being there. Representative Grijalva as well. From the county, it'll be Richard Elias and Sharon Bronson. Ramon Valadez's district also overlaps Ward 6, but I could not invite three of them because it would have constituted a quorum. So we'll have those two. Jonathan, the mayor, will be here. And from the state, I'm sure I will forget some, but by memory, it's Farley Wheeler, Cajero Bedford, Celian Gonzalez, Saldate. There are 15 of us in total. And people will be able to come in, write down their questions. We're not going to have an open mic because we have 15 people who would probably do too much talking as it is anyway, so we're going to try and cram as many questions into this two-hour time span as we can. We'll consolidate the questions and have Dave Fitzsimmons, and I invited him because he's a well-known guy in Tucson that MCs a lot of these things. And I want to not make this an overly serious engagement, although we'll be talking about serious issues. Let Fitz come in and do a little bit of roasting, too, so people can ask their serious questions, and Dave will make sure that we don't take ourselves too seriously up on the stage. Coming out of it, what I want to have is simply an opportunity for people to ask their questions and hear directly from elected officials their perspectives on it. We've got some really fundamental issues, and we just went through the budget thing back in D.C. We've got some issues that that overlap jurisdictions. You know, the issue of water, the issue of road repair has funding considerations that touch city, county, state, and federal. So there are plenty of different issues that people can and will ask about, and there's no hidden motive on it other than just let people address the elected officials who have something to do with Midtown.
And you've billed it as bipartisan, but you're going to be the only Republican there, are you?
No, Ethan Orr is going to be there also. And it is bipartisan, and quite frankly, the same group who's being critical of the buyback was critical of this thing, saying that I, quote, stacked the deck with a bunch of Democrats. Well, in fact, the voters voted for these people. I didn't redraw the ward lines and so that I could handpick who's participating in this thing. I came up with this idea, and before I'd researched who was involved with it, there are 13 Democrats and 2 Republicans. That's what the voters chose, and I'm happy to work with every single one of them at every level of governance.
And this is a free event.
Yep, free at the Loft. Doors are open at 6 o'clock. The event will start at 7 o'clock, and the Loft is on Speedway just east of Country Club.
Okay, here's Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Star.
Steve, I wanted to ask a bit more about the gun situation. I know that Mayor Jonathan Rothschild has come out saying that he supports some type of assault weapons ban renewal. Is this something that, what can the city council do within state law, which I know kind of hamstrings localities, but what can we do at the local level to take action? What can the city council do?
Very, very darn little, because the state preempts us. Last year they passed a bill that took the ability of local jurisdictions, not just the city council, the city of Tucson, I mean, that they took the local ability for us to draw firearm legislation that is more prohibitive or restrictive than what exists in state law. We can advocate, and quite frankly, let me kind of do a little rabbit trailing back directly to your question. We need to be talking about mental illness. We need to be talking about involuntary psychiatric evaluations. We have to be talking about the cultural impacts of the violent video games and all that kind of thing. You know, all of that is fair game when you're addressing people. But as soon as you cross the line and say, oh, and by the way, we also have to be talking about guns and oversized magazines, would we like to consider perhaps what would have happened if Jared Loeffner had a 5-round clip instead of a 15 or 17 or whatever he had, and he was tackled while he was trying to change it? The whole conversation shifts when you start talking about firearms. So it's a necessary and timely conversation that this community has got to have. And you guys, Sarah, have had just reams of letters to the editor at a time of year when you're usually hoping somebody mails you something.
So, that is, you know, absolutely true.
So it is absolutely something that this community wants to have a conversation about. Circling back to your question, though, a couple of weeks before the holidays, I asked the council to join me and Karen Ulick in a memorial that has no standing in terms in law, but it is kind of like the sense of the council. We want the legislature to rescind Section D of 133108, which was the law that they passed that preempts us from doing more restrictive legislation, and so that we can have a conversation with our constituents, and it's strictly with respect to public spaces, public buildings, parks, and those things. And let the citizens of Tucson address us as our constituents and whether or not they want to allow guns into public parks, they want to allow guns into public spaces. There is no reason for us as a large urban area to expect our constituents to have the same kind of mindset as, for instance, a rural community like Heber would have. And so why the state would restrict us from being able to adopt ordinances that reflect the will of this community on a blanket level statewide to me is just inappropriate. And that's what we did. That's what we can do. But we cannot preempt state law.
Okay, Steve, we're just about out of time. Mark, do you have a yes or no question for the councilman?
No.
That presumes I'd have a yes or no answer to it.
All right. Steve Kasachek, thank you very much for being with us. And again, that is your event.
Well, I'll give you the 30-second close on it.
Okay.
The event on Monday is at the Loft. The doors are at 6. The event starts at 7, goes from 7 to 9, and then Tuesday at 22nd Street and Alvernon Police Substation from 9 a.m. until the gift cards run out is the gun buyback.
We did have a call right before we need to go to the break. Tom called to say thank you, Steve, for your knowledge and always making yourself available for you constituents.
Right, thank you. I appreciate their closing on a high note.
All right. Happy New Year to you.
You too, you three.
Thanks a lot.
Take care.
With SRN News, I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. A tally of the Electoral College vote has affirmed President Obama's re-election. Vice President Joe Biden presided over a joint session of Congress today as the tally was read. This was all part of a constitutional formality. Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick says Representative Barney Frank would make a great interim senator. The newly retired congressman says he has asked Patrick to appoint him to serve as a temporary successor to Senator John Kerry, who has been nominated for Secretary of State. U.S. troops are arriving in Turkey to man Patriot missiles there. Germany, the Netherlands, and the United States are each deploying two Patriot surface to air batteries to boost their NATO allies' air defenses against any possible spillover from Syria's civil war. On Wall Street, at last check, the Dow was up 27 points. The NASDAQ is up 2 points. This is SRN News.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing: people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. Time for our Friday Reporters Roundtable featuring local journalists who come into our program, and we're glad they do, to talk about the week's top stories. Joining me on the roundtable, Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer for the Arizona Daily Star, and Mark B. Like Boy Evans, administrator for TucsonCitizen.com. If you have a question or comment for the Buckmaster Show, our live line number is open for you at 790-2040. And Mark, we didn't really get a chance to, and first of all, we thank Councilman Kasachek for giving us a half hour, but you didn't have a chance to ask the question, and I think it's a question that a lot of us have on our mind. What is his political future?
Well, yeah, given his propensity to give very long answers, I didn't think it would be fair to ask him this question when he only had a few minute right. or so to answer yes. it. But in 2003 is a Tucson City Council election year. 2013. Yeah. And for forgetting what year I'm living in. And
I know you've been ill, but
right. There's been a lot of speculation as to whether Steve's going to run for re-election or not. And I think there's a lot of people who would like to see him run, and there's a lot of people who would like to see him defeated, especially within his own party, within the Republican Party, because he's been fighting with his own party for the past couple of years. But I've been just playing, you know, political analyst, you know, and trying to see if I can figure out the numbers, and I'm just not sure that he can get it done. I mean, if he runs as a Republican, I'm pretty sure, based on the antipathy against him in, within his own party, that the Republicans will run someone against him in the primary, in a primary election, I don't see him advancing. If he changes parties, it opens him up to all kinds of criticisms for not having been a real Republican in the first place. And if he runs in a Democratic primary where there's a Democratic other candidate and there's a Democratic registration advantage within his district, I don't see him winning that primary.
Could he run as an independent?
So if he ran as an independent, that would advance him directly to the general because there's no need for a primary there, and that would raise the possibility of a three-person race that runs then citywide because of the screwy way the city of Tucson does its council elections, where it's ward-only primaries, but citywide council elections. With the city's Democratic registration advantage, that would mean in a three-party race, he would have to win a whole lot of independents and Republican votes as well as Democrats. And I just don't see it happening. And it would be unfortunate. I don't want to cheerlead for the council member, but I think he's proven to be a very hardworking, very earnest council member who hasn't made any mistakes, doesn't have any scandals. He forces the dialogue on the council. He sets the agenda. He's been a good councilman, and I would like to see him have the opportunity to win another term.
And
I just don't see it happening.
I think if you had asked him, what are you going to do, I think the answer would be he hasn't made up his mind.
Right. They never say what they're going to make up their mind until about a month before they pull their petitions. So.
Well, the other thing is running as an independent, you don't have the same party structure, the same infrastructure, the same petition signature requirements as you do. It's a much steeper road to go, although I think ideologically he's pretty independent. I think most people would agree, and I think he would get attract voters from across the political spectrum.
Maybe if he's listening, he'll call in and answer the question for us.
Right, yes.
He probably had to get back to work. But he also brought up a point that, Sarah, I know you've been very busy trying to decide which of the letters concerning guns and gun control you are going to publish. And it really has been remarkable. I think, what was it, a few days ago you did a full page letters just on this subject.
It has been, and I've been in the editorial department, and I'm usually the person, unless I'm on vacation, who goes through and sees all the letters that come in. And I am stunned that we are still receiving the volume of letters about this topic after the shootings in Newtown. It usually sort of tapers off, but they are still coming in strong. And Steve Kozacik is absolutely right. During the holidays, typically you're kind of hoping that someone gets upset about potholes or something and writes a letter. We've had absolutely no shortage. And I will say that, and maybe this is just the people who decide to write letters to the
editor. Yeah, I was going to ask you just how is it running?
It is running overwhelmingly for some sort of sensible action on controlling the type of weapons that people can acquire and the extended magazines. I know people think that, and people write letters saying, why are you not running equal? Well, we don't receive equal numbers of letters on any topic, but especially on this one. And maybe those people are commenting on the online comments or through another venue, but if you are writing a letter to the editor that supports the NRA or absolutely no gun control, then you are in the minority of the people who are writing letters to the editor of the
Star. But your comments are certainly welcome.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yeah, actually, have a much better, the way it's running now, you have a much better chance of being published because we try to mix up the opinions. People, this is part of a community conversation, and it doesn't help if we're all just saying the same thing.
But isn't it the reverse on the online commenting, though? Isn't the online comments run to the opposite, where it's mostly the pro-gun advocacy and anti-gun control?
That is a very good point. So I don't know if it's, just the method and the way people have become comfortable and where they want to share their views. On the online comments, your username is shown, but it's not your full name and town, or it's the requirements are different. So I don't, maybe that makes a difference. I don't know.
It's a passionate issue, and I'm not surprised you're getting those kinds of letters considering the horror of that shooting. I mean, I hate to say that we've gotten used to these kinds of mass shootings, but they seem to be happening all the time now. And the only thing that really changes is the body count. But this one where you had 20 kids all between the ages of 6 and 7, it was just awful. I mean, all of them were awful, but to have I couldn't even imagine if my daughter, when she was 6 years old, had been killed in a way like that. It would just been devastating. And I think the country is devastated, and I think we're wrestling with what to do about this. The Second Amendment says we get to own guns, or the Supreme Court says the Second Amendment says we get to own guns. And nearly between a third and half of all American households have a gun in them. But at the same time, we just can't keep blithely going along and allowing these massacres to be happening, as well as the other people that are killed every single day. I mean, there's 10,000 people a year that are killed with a firearm in the United States. They just don't happen to be all shot at once. Maybe if they were, maybe then we would finally do something about it. I don't know what the answer is, but I know that there's a lot of frustration and there's a lot of passion about it. But we've got to find some way to deal with this so that something like this becomes extremely rare instead of almost becoming very common.
And I would also like to say that I think it's part of human nature that when you get passionate about something, either you think you're you perceive something as a threat, or you're really angry about something, you're more likely to speak out.
Yes.
So I think I know Safeway has been receiving calls from people saying, who are very critical that they made this donation to the gun buyback, which I think is a very, very responsible community thing to do. But anyway, I just want to say that people who support sensible changes, who support making a difference in how what we do things in this country, in this community, should also speak up, because otherwise we're just going to get drowned out, and we should not let that happen.
And one person who wants to speak up right now on the Buckmaster Show live line is Doug Martin, and Doug is the owner of KVOI. And I want to publicly say, Doug, I'm glad you called in. Our two-year anniversary of the Buckmaster Show was yesterday, and I want to personally say to you publicly what a great host you've been, and we really enjoy being here. Go ahead, Doug.
We love having you, Bill, and just commenting on what y'all are talking about, and I know that a lot of controversy about the gun buyback, and I really don't think it will do much, but I am supporting it, and I'm giving money to it, not because I think it'll do much, but just because I think we need to have the conversation. But I think something that we could all agree on, because what's really fueling all this is fear. There's fear on people that are gun owners that are fearful of losing their ability to have a gun. There's fear on the part of people that don't have guns because they're fearful of guns. But I think something that we could do, just like we require people to have a driver's license, I mean, I don't think most people would be opposed to the idea of getting licensed to have a gun and going through training, and the NRA and other groups could help in the training, provide that freely, because, you know, years ago, we all grew up with guns, but, you know, we were trained properly as a kid to use it. There isn't that kind of training now. It isn't something that's ubiquitous, you know, as far as guns being everywhere and people having guns on their farm and stuff. But I think that's something that we could do and work forward in that kind of a vein.
Thank you, Doug. Doug makes a good point, Sarah. I think that in Japan they require not only, you know, full testing, but psychological testing as well before you become a gun owner. I could be wrong about that, but I think that's the case.
That may be, and I just want to say to Doug, I commend you for supporting the gun buyback program. As you say, it's not going to fix everything, but I think it is a good community statement, and I think that's a very positive thing. I also want to say that I don't think Arizona is going to get on board with any sort of registration, anything that would make anything that more difficult or put any sort of roadblock or perceived roadblock or interpreted roadblock between a person and their desire to own a firearm. I think that's a fine idea. I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, the problem with licensure is the terminology, and that it implies that the government will play some sort of decision making over who gets a license, that you meet a certain level of requirement, that you have achieved these things, and therefore, okay, you meet the government's requirement, and so here you can have your license, which means you can get your gun. And that would fly in the face of the Second Amendment. The government cannot decide who gets to own a gun and who doesn't get to own a gun, unless there's extraordinary circumstances, like with felons or something like that. So what you would have to do is call it registration, whereas someone has to show up and they have to register. And they have registration in other states. I think they even have registration in Connecticut and in New York. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. If you had someone who has access to a legally owned gun, like you had with Loeffner and like you had with, I don't want to say the wrong guy's name. His last name is Lanza, but I keep remembering Adam. His brother's name. Yeah. Then you know, if they have a mental health problem and they have a legally obtained gun, you can still end up with one of these types of shootings.
And some people probably worry the government. They don't want the government to know how many and what type of guns they may well own. And I think that is a valid fear out there.
Right. I mean, there's almost one gun for every person in the United States. There's like 300 million guns in ownership in the United States, but it's only in less than half the households. So most households have more than one gun.
A series of events, Sarah, will commemorate the violent events of January 8th, 2011. That is coming up on Tuesday, but the events will begin actually Saturday. This is the Beyond Tucson group that was formed after the tragic shootings. There's a series of events. As I say, there's at least 16, but the main event will be in downtown Tucson at the Children's Museum.
Yeah, and I think this is something that has evolved over the past 2 years, and I think it's a great way to come together as a community, and the intent, I believe, is to come and celebrate each other's togetherness and to be part of a community, to be active and engaged with the underlying thinking that if we're more active and engaged with each other, then we're a more caring community and it just builds stronger bonds. So it's, I think, something that's uplifting and can be viewed as sort of a tribute rather than a memorial to what happened.
Right. I think the Zimmerman's family goal is to not have that day be only remembered for that horrible tragedy, that instead that it can, that day can serve as an impetus to bring the community together rather than solely simply remember the horrible thing that happened. And with that in mind, I think it's a tremendous effort that they're doing. And there's going to be a lot of stuff to do.
And it will be a community. It's Beyond is the group, and it is an annual community-wide outdoor event that occurs the first Saturday of every year to commemorate the anniversary of the January 8th tragedy. And this event was initiated by the Gabe Zimmerman family. And that event gets underway at noon. It's noon to 4 downtown in downtown Tucson at Armory Park and the Children's Museum. That will be the main centerpiece of the Beyond events. And we still are struggling, Sarah and Mark, to figure out what kind of permanent memorial we are going to have.
Yes, I know there are people and groups working on this, and it's going to take something, an effort of people coming together, but we can't rush this. I've talked to people in Columbine. It took years there. It's something that people need to just be patient and give time and effort to.
Weekend Watch coming up with Matt Russell. That's going to do it for our roundtable. Stay with us.
Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1, 2, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Since 2006, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing more than 500 projects. Current projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson and La Cañada Drive from River to Ina. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, and SunShuttle neighborhood service. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Life on Earth begins with water. The plants that sustain us and biodiversity that surrounds us. At UA Biosphere 2, water is big science. From our tropical rainforest and million-gallon ocean to the mountain slopes of LEO, our new landscape evolution observatory, By recreating the natural world on such an immense scale, LEO aims to reveal better ways to understand and manage global water resources. Come see how Biosphere 2 is being used to model climate science, test smart technology, and develop new environmental strategies that can help build a stronger 21st century community. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2, where innovation lives, just north of Tucson, America's science city. Explore today. More information at b2science.org.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
That music means it's time for the weekend. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, brought to you by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico, promoting their upcoming Red Paint Powwow. That's the Red Paint Powwow in Silver City, the weekend of January 18th through the 20th. Should be a lot of fun, lots of great places to stay in the area, including Cottage of Whispering Canyon, Faywood Hot Springs, Georgetown Cabins, and the Continental Divide RV Park. You can find out more by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. Time now for Weekend Watch with Matt Russell. Matt, have you recovered from, I guess it was a pretty wild New Year's Eve that... I didn't read about you in the newspaper, so I guess that's good news.
Well, the one thing I always check first is the obituary page, Bill, and if I'm not there, it's time for another great year.
It is, and Matt Russell celebrating with the well-known and highly acclaimed Russell Public Communication, your 11-year anniversary. Congratulations on that. Also, congratulations to your food writing column in Inside Tucson Business. That seems to be off and running. You are a busy man, and we do appreciate the time you give us every Friday.
Thanks so much, Bill, and a happy 2-year anniversary to the Buckmaster Show and the Buckmaster team. It's just a privilege for us to be associated with you, Bill.
What can we do with a happy hour?
Great way to heat things up on this cold day, Bill, is to head downtown to V Fine Thai Dining on the corner of Congress and Stone. For a great Friday happy hour, their famous Friday wine tasting is going to be in full swing later today, featuring a flight of five wines for only $10. And, of course, the perfect companions for those wines are some of those spicy delicacies from V's appetizer menu, which are those classic Thai dishes served up with that famous V twist. It's both spicy and sultry tonight at V Fine Thai Dining for happy hour.
Sounds like a great pairing. What about opening of the lodge?
Yeah, you know, the cruiser just loves when a new restaurant opens in Tucson, and one just opened up on Ina and La Cholla near the Foothills Mall that'll have you thinking you've arrived at a hunting and fishing and ski lodge, and as you said, it's aptly named the Lodge Sasquatch Kitchen. Now, their unique menu is outdoor-inspired, so lots of trailhead and shrubbery options, but Bill, the one thing that caught my eye was the Sasquatch Burger. This is a half-pound burger, fit for Sasquatch himself, but get this, instead of buns, the burger is nestled between two grilled cheese sandwiches. I am in. I'm at the lodge for dinner this weekend.
That's for a big, big eater burger like Matt Russell. Boy, I'm sure you're going to enjoy that one. Boy, oh boy, that must look like, it must be huge. You must need a knife and fork even to begin to approach that sucker.
I'm going to take it down all by myself.
Though. Yeah, what about those that would like to do maybe a little wine tasting?
Yeah, another new place just hit the scene a couple of weeks ago for wine and cheese enthusiasts. It's called Bear Tracks Wine Bistro, northeast corner of Sunrise and Swan. They've got wines from California, Arizona, New Mexico, and all served up with some cured meats and some smoked oysters, cheese olives, the whole nine yards. Fun place to relax over a bottle of wine and some great conversation at their family table. And since it's across the street from my office, Bill, I may have to hop over there now and start my weekend a little early.
Have a great weekend. Happy New Year, your first full weekend of the new year. Have a good one, Matt.
To you as well, Bill. Thanks.
Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, provided by Culligan, offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business. We love Culligan water, folks. It simply tastes better. Coming up this afternoon, it's the John C. Scott Show, 3 to 5 here on KVOI. Then Monday morning, Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe. But you know, the local talk doesn't end on the weekend. In fact, we get it all fired up tomorrow at 7 a.m. with Phil Cedar and his garden show. Nobody knows more about Southern Arizona gardening than Phil Cedar. So we've got a lot of expert talk right here on the weekend on KVOI. The Buckmaster Show, a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of our team, the very lovely and talented Rosemary Brandt, I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend. We'll be back with you Monday afternoon at 12:04. Have a great weekend.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.